This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we're talking about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. Yes, we are. You know what it is. It's about a joy for living, because you know, as crazed as this world can be, and for all the reasons that we could have either anger, disappointment, sadness, fear or anxiety, even around our money issues, because that goes to the heart of our survival in so many ways. Even with all of that, still, it is truly a blessing just to be incarnate for however long we are, specifically in this very moment. And that's what this show is all about week after week. This joy for living, just really tapping it within ourselves, and this gratitude and appreciation for this very moment. Because truly, on a profound level, that's really all we have. We have no idea how much longer any of us are going to be here. And we really can't go backwards in time, even though with our mind we can always go back and have our regrets. But, you know, it doesn't really serve us too well, does it? So this is really about how we can enjoy this moment, right here, right now. And yeah, to the extent we look at our financial wealth, how can we be the best human beings we can be as we create our financial wealth? So when we're tapping into this inside wealth, we have a great guest today. Stephen Post, PhD, truly a scientist, a professor of bioethics at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's also the president of the Institute of Research on Unlimited Love. So yeah, love sounds soft and ungrounded and woo-woo and all of that. Even though we know in our hearts, there is absolutely nothing like it. Well, Stephen is going to bring some science to it all, so we get to ground it with our mind as well as our heart. And he's the co-author of a fantastic book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People, the exciting new research that proves the link between doing good and living a longer, healthier, happier life. Yay! We actually have science on our side, too. So we'll talk with the good doctor, Dr. Post, real briefly in a few minutes. And we also have with us later in the show on our winning business segment, Jonathan Bonanno, the Green Bonanno, president and chairman of Principal Power, who's going to share with us a little more of his insight in terms of renewable energy, going green, and what's going on in the world there. And that it truly is a winning business because, you know, nobody has to lose. But before we get to Stephen and Jonathan, we have this week's heaping helping, and this is an energetic one, bowl of stew. Yeah, we're deciding to go with this energy food, this energy drink of stew this week because have you noticed those energy prices? Have you noticed? How does it feel? How do you feel when you drive by the pump and it's like a stock price in a bull market? Where every day or every week you drive by and there's an uptick. 387 is the best I can do unleaded right now. How about you? You know, have you noticed? And if you have super unleaded, you can't get it under 4. You just can't. At least not in this neighborhood. How does that feel to you? And do you really think this is as high as it's going to go? Or what do you think? Do you think it's really going to go higher? Do you notice that you're filling yourself, your pump, you're going to the pump a little more regularly to try and sneak in and get this $3.87 a gallon, even if you have half a tank, because you know next week is going to be $3.95. I find myself doing that. Of course, we all like a bargain, right? And we're all, you know, we are in this energy crisis of a form. But, you know, with respect to inside wealth, we're going to take a look at the energy crisis, not in terms of fossil fuels, at least not immediately, but rather about our own energy. Because when we distill all of it down, that's all we really are. We're just these energy waves. And the quality of our life and all of it just is really ultimately based on our energy. How much life force we have within us. And how good we feel about what we have and who we are in the moment, right? That really is the wealth. And so have you noticed where your energy gets depleted every day? And I don't know about you, but almost everybody I talk to, the to-do list is running really high these days. And so I ask people, as we're running around with all this to do, with so much of it around money, and even the rest around, let's say, doing things for the kids. So if you have any children of age that, you know, need to be at soccer practice, little league, dance, ballet, karate, extracurriculars, let alone all the stuff going on with school and everything else, you know, it's easy to live in a schlepper colony, if you know what I mean, where all you're doing is schlepping around and everything. And it just seems like it just takes so much energy from us. And I'm inviting you to take a look at your own energy. And I'll take a look at mine, because I'm not sure if you've noticed that there's a true energy crisis with all of us relative to how much energy it takes every single day in what we would otherwise call life as usual, in terms of how much we find ourselves proving or defending ourselves with others. Have you noticed? And how much we judge each other or others, and even ourselves, and how much energy that takes, and time that takes, and what that does to our lives. It takes us away from all the other things we could be doing. Dare I say, loving each other, or enjoying living longer, healthier, happier life, as Stephen Post would refer to in a little bit. So for me, I'll give you a perfect example. Okay, my daughter's bat mitzvah was in January, and a lot of pictures were taken, and of course, this was a high ticket item in terms of how much it cost. And of course, it's so easy to take a look at, oh my God, it's costing X, or, you know, or 2X more than I thought it was going to be. And we all have those experiences, right, of going to a place of fear simply about the whole money thing. We all do. So taking it a step further, one of the expenses of this bat mitzvah, which is reasonable, and you probably had this too for any event of any meaning in your family's life, are the photos, right? So my ex-wife, you know, God bless her, she was the one who took care of a lot of the details. So here it is. I've got the full disc of all the photos from the photographer, and they were amazing. God bless. Came out really wonderful. And then it was time to get the album, okay? So here I am. They asked me to select which photos I wanted. And, you know, I got to tell you, I did drag my feet a little bit. I admit it. I dragged my feet a little bit. I thought I had some time, and I thought they wouldn't do anything without my approval. Not. I was absolutely wrong. Because all of a sudden, I was just handed, and here is your photo album that my ex-wife created. She selected the pictures. And it was amazing how many pictures of her current husband are in there. And amazing how many people of her friends and family, her friends I didn't even know, are in my album for my keepsake for all time. So every time I get to look with such fond memories from my daughter's bat mitzvah, I see all these people. I have no idea who they are. Well, don't you know, I started getting a reaction. As I started to feel the hair on the back of my neck start to stand, as with each turning of the page and each person, I had no idea. I guess they were at the party. I had no idea who they were. It gave me a place to go into real judgment. Here she is, my ex-wife again. You know, she's going to be that the witch that she is, or frankly, something that rhymes with witch, if you know what I mean. Go to a place of judgment and get to a place of anger. And you know, with one breath, I just realized, you know, everybody is simply doing the best they can. And you know what? Maybe she's not. Maybe she did to try and push my buttons. You know, that's a real possibility, and it's certainly been a pattern of ours. And it's certainly an opportunity for me to go deeper and just say, you know what? It's still a blessing to be alive. There are so many beautiful pictures of my daughter and our family with her, the people I do know and love directly and everything else. And why not focus on that? And it's simply a matter of where I place my attention. And I noticed when I started getting angry how much energy started draining from me and how much less energy I would have. And it's so easy. I could see all of a sudden calling my sister and calling my mom. Could you believe what she did? Blah, 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 blah. And we all get into this kind of, outrage together and have a kind of bonding session around the outrage. A lot of us do that. A lot of us could go to gossip and I go to my friends and get all the sympathy for, you know, how right I am, how wrong she is, yada, yada. We all do that. We all have history doing that. And I'm inviting you to consider to leave it as history. Because we can cut right to the choice. And we are loving good beings at our heart. And some of us are doing the best they can, some of us aren't. And yet it doesn't change who we are. So take a look in the areas in your life where you're finding yourself a need to prove and defend your goodness. And just let it go, if you can. And let go of the judgments, because you are good. And you do have inside wealth. And you are this loving being. And that's something that nobody can take from you. With that, we have Stephen Post, PhD, and author of Why Good Things Are Happening to Good People. He's also a professor of bioethics at Case Western in Cleveland and the president of the Institute of Research on Unlimited Love. Yay, yay, yay. Dr. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today on Inside Wealth.
Thanks, Stu. It's a delight to be with you and everybody in the Bay Area.
So tell us, before we get into the meat of love and why good things happen to good people, what exactly is bioethics?
Well, I'm not even sure, but it has something to do with how people get treated in medical environments, how we make decisions across the board from the beginning of life to the end of life. But you know what? If you ask somebody right out there on the street, what's the biggest problem, the thing that upsets them most about healthcare, they would probably tell you, Stu, they felt like they were a piece of meat. They were over-biologized and over-objectified. They were the kidney in room three, and all the compassion, all the kindness, all the love that you just spoke about wasn't there for them in a 15-minute visit. And that's really hurting people, both the ones who receive care, but also the ones who give it.
Mm. So this is quite a science you're in, and thank you for showing up in it. You've actually been researching and writing about the power of love now for decades.
That's right. That's right. Well, I had a mom, an Irish mother named Molly McGee. That's pretty Irish.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid growing up on Long Island, and I'd have a kind of a blue, lonely day, she'd always say, "Now, Stevie, why don't you go out and help someone?" And I would. I'd go out and help a neighbor rake the leaves or pull a boat out of the bay for winter. And I always sensed that there was a kind of buoyancy that I experienced in just the small little helping activities that, you know, we're all capable of and that we all do every day. Somehow, you know, my mom's little bit of kitchen table wisdom captivated me, and I've been able to stay with it both in research but also at times even in practice over the course of my years.
So this is what led to, I guess, maybe your most recent book in terms of why good things happen to good people.
And That's right.
Taking the scientific approach. And you talk about giving as being the most profound force on the planet.
That's right. And, you know, I have nothing against Rabbi Kushner, whom I greatly admire. You know, bad things happen to good people. No one's denying that. But if you actually look at life and you look at the science, the fact of the matter is that when we live in the generous emotional space of compassion and love and concern, so long as we're not dramatically overwhelmed, we are going to be happier and healthier, and odds are, believe it or not, Stu, we're going to live a little longer.
Well, I think most of us actually do prefer to live longer, if at all possible, but that also is in the context of living healthier and happier, which is exactly the link that you're making here as well, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. People who, over the course of their lives, demonstrate generous purposes, they want to be helpful and concerned about those around them, on average, really do tend to be happier. They tend to be shielded from depression, from some stress-induced illnesses, including cardiovascular disease. And overall, they live a little longer. So, you know, those passages, I think of Ralph Waldo Emerson, no man can sincerely, you know, emphasize sincerely, help himself without helping another. We'll add woman to that phrase, by the way. Or Proverbs 11, those who refresh others are themselves refreshed. There's something about the energy of giving and kindness that is overwhelmingly powerful and goes with the grain of human nature, despite what cynicism we've been taught. And when we can live in that kind of flow, we tend to prosper.
We'll be right back with more from Stephen Post, PhD, about giving, forgiving, and how we can live a healthier, happy life, right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco.